your training system, your training repertoire, which is very important. You know, the better you input your reinforcement into the training, the dog will become better and better over time. You know, so putting in reinforcement, it's like, I would say it's like, for example, you know, like the interest in the bank, right? So you have a principal sum of money that you put in the bank, right? And if you do nothing to it, basically, you will just multiply by a fixed interest rate, right? So imagine if you want to earn more, therefore you need to invest, right? So every time when you reward your dog, you are putting your investment at work, right? Therefore, you will earn a lot more interest, right? So the better you reinforce, the more money you will earn, the better interest you will get. Hey, Pupster, welcome to Train Your Dog Podcast. I'm your host, Dexter. Train Your Dog Podcast is a new doggy podcast on education, animal learning, behavioral modification, and dog training. Train Your Dog Podcast focus on helping your puppy to make sound decisions. Good decision empowers your puppy to enjoy freedom, and with good decision, gets your puppy a good and rewarding reinforcement. Pups promote positive interaction with animal, and pups, your companion for life. We are happy to launch our first Q&A session for this podcast as one of the segments for us to discuss on the question and answer segment. Right, so we are happy to have the answer the question from Janice Tan from Malaysia. Her question is, should I continue tugging with a dog during the teething age, right, or the puppy? Right, that's a very good question, Janice, and I appreciate you for put up that question. Of course, I have seen that you have also posed another question. I would like to address your second question on the next episode, where we will put down as a Q&A segment. Okay, let's look at your question down here. Should I continue to play tug-of-war with a dog that is basically teething? Right, so the answer is both yes and no. Right, as the puppy is changing their teeth, therefore, I will still will be keen to play the dog with some tug of toy. Maybe I will not use stuff that is made of plastic, right? I will use, like, maybe if it's a frisbee, I will be using a rope frisbee. If I'm using a toy, I will be using things like a rubber toy. I will be using things that is not made of hard plastic that will cause the teeth to be badly damaged. It's always good to practice that that play tug of war with a puppy, because of the instinct of the puppy, the need to chew, the need to catch, you know, the need to chase, you know, these are all the instinct as a predator, right, as a dog. Therefore, it's always good for us to keep the dog going as long as you follow the rule of thumbs. For example, I will tug, but I will let the dog, the puppy, wins most of the time. I will not be tugging it too hard. I will not be swinging my dog, you know, above the ground. When I do the tug, I will be going into the dog's level, where most likely will be only to the head's level, where I will keep the spine straight. Instead of causing any damage to the head, damage to the teeth, damage to the spine, and things like that, right? So if I would keep to this rule of thumb, we should be fine, right? And we should have a dog, a puppy that is, you know, fully motivated to tug. And when you goes into your dog sport training with a puppy, that will help you a lot. Right, I hope that answers your question. Hey, Pupster, thank you for joining us back into our this podcast, focusing on the common puppy issue part three of three. Right, today our focus will be on jumping on people, nipping at the heel, and walking on loose leash. Let's recap. Right, during our first two sessions, we have a great discussion and a great conversation on the common puppy problem. Right, so we have focused on, which is our first part of three. We have looked on barking, biting, and during vet's visits, and how we can do to recover or to position or to make sure ourselves to be ready and our puppy to be ready for the vet visits. But if you want to relook into that, let's go back to our last episode 13 on the common puppy problem, part 1 of 3. Right, and on the second episode of this common puppy issue, right, we have the touch on the managing of dog runt, right, and counter surfing, and also a reliable recall. And again, we have a visit on each and individual point and how we can build that super skill, right? And I've given every exercise with three tips for you to revisit. And if you need to relook into the episode, I will suggest that you look back to episode 18, Common Puppy Issue, part 2 of 3. So let's start on this podcast on the part 3 of 3, which again, we would like to focus on jumping on people, nipping at the heel, right, and walking on loose leash. Right, why do we call it a common puppy issue? Right, this is because these are common problem that for anyone that has owned the dog for the very first time, or having a puppy or adolescent that comes into your house that is non-trained, you will likely to be faced with such a common problem. Right, when we say common problem, it just means that you are not alone. Therefore, there is already ways and techniques and resolution available, right, for us to revisit, for us to relook into how we can manage our puppy. Right, that will help us to look into it very accurately and precisely. Right, so here, again, we are zooming into three tips on each and individual of the common puppy problem so that we can have time to really have a great conversation on how we can train our dog to basically respond to us in terms of the problem that we are facing. Right, so for the first one, jumping on people. Right, let's look at the problem itself. Why do you think your puppy is jumping at you? Do you think that they are because they really like you? They actually are trying to greet the person that's coming to the door? Or when you just came back from home, from school, you know, from office, and you are always being greeted by a very friendly, very excited, very zuvalous dog that is waiting at the door gate, waiting for you to be home, right? So big understanding of the excitement that a puppy will have. Therefore, these three tips, it comes in handy so that you learn how to teach your puppy to learn that the right behavior is not to jump on the people. Right, so let's look at the first tips. Right, let's look at how to address or how to fit to the needs of the puppy. Right, the puppy has been waiting for you for the past 9 hours as you're working, or you're in school, and it has been waiting for you for them such a long time. Right, therefore, when you are back home, we can't fault really the puppy from being so excited to see us, right? So therefore, let's look at a way to address that need for attention, right? So when you come back home, I'll suggest you that you will go down to his level and give him a pat on his head, a rub on his body, right? And we will just hold to what we call a 5-second drill, right? So we will go and we will pat the dog and we will just calmly just appreciating the dog, and to let the dog feel that he has also been given the attention we are actually addressing his needs of the attention of the people. Right, if you were to really do that, you will realize that your dog will basically, after the 5 seconds, he will be already be calmed down, right? Because he has already been satisfied with his interaction with the people or with the owner. Therefore, there is no more need for the dog to jump on you, right? So this is one of the great way that we can stop our dog from jumping up at us. The next step or the next tips that we will be looking at is to aim and always to greet our dog when they are 4 feet on the ground, right? This is something that I want you to learn, especially in these days. Especially in Southeast Asia or in Singapore, we are very good or very quick to look at a problem. We are always good to look at error, and therefore we are never good in looking at things that a dog has basically do, which is good to our eyes, right? So let's look at this exercise again, right? When the dog is jumping up, what do you want the dog to do? What would be your best picture? You know, your best picture is when the dog is 4 feet on the ground. So when it's 4 feet on the ground, right, immediately I will want you to bend forward and give it a pat on his back and holding his back down on the ground so that you will prevent him from jumping up, right? And then you will reward the dog. Right, so if you are doing this successfully for the multiple times, the dog will understand that when I see you again on the next episode and the next time, he will not be greeting you with the jumping up, right? Because he understands that every time when he stands on his forepaw, that will be the right position that he will be greeting his owner, and therefore you will bend down and give him his attention. Right, therefore that will set the what we call that the criteria, where the dog will learn to hold that criteria in order to be always hitting the reward zone, and in return you will have to reward him over and over again. Right, so the third tips for us to address this jumping up on people, right, we will always like to say that you can teach an alternate behavior. What do I mean by that? When your dog is at a sit, is unlikely to jump up. If it's on the down, it's unlikely to jump up, right? If it's on a stay command, it's unlikely to jump up. So therefore, why not we spend that energy teaching the dog an additional cue? So every time when you come back home from work or from school, every time the dog that greets you at the gate, you immediately tells the dog to down, right? Or to sit, so that he will just execute that behavior and wait for you to give him a pat, right? So that by throwing that specific behavior that you want the dog to maintain, therefore he will not be able to do the behavior that he doesn't like, which is the jumping out of the people, right? So with these three tips, I'm sure that you will have some great progression in resolving this jumping out on people issue.
Podcast is sponsored by Pups Dog Training. Pups is a positive dog training school. We train dogs from puppy to advanced. Pups Training currently focuses on nurturing, training, educating, and motivating our trainers to better equip themselves with skills, knowledge, experience to ensure continuing education and keeping abreast with the field of dog training. Our flagship programs include online cyber puppy training, life skills, dog obedience, behavioral modification, private one-on-one home-based training, and dog sports.
Let's look at the second common puppy issue, which is nipping at the heel, right? And nipping at the heel usually would be what we call a breed-specific type of behavior, right? Especially those who are what we call a herding breed instinct, dogs like Australian Shepherd, Border Collie, German Shepherd Dog, Malinois, you know, corgi, you know, such the dogs that is of a herding instinct. Therefore, they has the you know, that built-in capability where they would like to round out their owner or the pit or the pack that is at home in order to create what we call a control or status quo, right? So such dog, especially the herding breed, doesn't like to have a situation that's out of control. So therefore, when they see people running, you know, at the uncontrolled position or a uncontrolled way, therefore the dog will get into action where he feels the need to nip and control other people. But therefore, you will have a dog that stop nipping at the heel of your guests, nipping at the heel of your family members, nipping at the heels of your kids, right? Which is sometimes can be something that you doesn't want to have, because you know, nipping on the heel sometimes can break the skin, sometimes can cut your leg, and sometimes you also will hurt the dog, right? So therefore, it becomes a issue of multiple concern, right? So therefore, we will want to find ways to nip the butt of this issue, right? So the very first tips that I want to give to you, right? Let's train the dog what we call bite inhibition, right? So in pups dog training, we always teach this exercise called the Zen exercise. Zen as in Z-E-N. Therefore, we teach the dog to basically have some form of self restraint. They are not allowed to, you know, to bite the hands of the human. They are not allowed to pry from the hands of the human. They are not allowed to dig. They are not allowed to mouth. And therefore, by not doing so, they will be then granted the permission to get the treats from the hands of the owner. Right. So that's teach the dog that every time he sees the contact skin of the human being or the family member, he therefore will not be putting his teeth or to sink his teeth into that skin, right? Because that is where the owner will always create the point to show to the dog that these are no-go zone, right? And this is also important, especially when, you know, all of us will have our nieces or nephew or even our friends that comes to our home, and if you have a dog that nips, you have a dog that have the manifestation of a herding instinct, is something that it can be quickly gone out of control, right? Which can be sometimes detrimental to the relationship between the family member and friends, right? So by training Zen, therefore we teach our dog not to nip, not to dig, and not to pry from our hand, not to mouth our hand. Therefore, they are not allowed to put their teeth near the skin of the human, right? And the only way to gain the reward is to move the body away from the skin. Therefore, he's been rewarded, right? So this bite inhibition is something that you can work on to basically work on that, right? So the next tip, I would like to put it down here, is what we call a redirection, right, of the instinct, right? For example, if you have a herding breed like a Border Collie, German Shepherd dogs breeds mixes, where they have that herding instinct that's imbued into them. You know, every time when your family members get disbanded or gets to move around the house in an unorganized manner, right? Anything that the dog feels that they are out of control, he will go into the driving range and he will be start doing what we call herding and nipping at yourself, your family members, your guests, your nephew, your nieces. That is something that is very, very wrong. Right, therefore, I want you to redirect that attention away, right? So get something on hand that is handy, right? Maybe a tug of toy, a tug of war, you know, maybe building a prey drive in terms of chasing a ball, or maybe teaching the dog to hold something on his mouth that will occupy his mentality, occupy his thoughts, that he has a job at hand where he needs to do something, right? So if you can do that, basically, your dog will still be thinking of, you know, exercising and doing what it's been asked to task to do so, right? Like holding a dumbbell or like holding a toy or like, you know, driving his energy towards the toy or going for the ball every time when he see people getting up and start moving. You know, you basically redirect the energy of the dog, right? And when you do redirect the energy of the dog, what you are doing is that you are satisfying his needs. you know, to get into that prey drive, that herding instinct, where he needs to have control, and he needs to use his mouth to basically gain some control of either the object or the animals or the people, right? That will help you to provide satisfaction to the dog, where he's able to be controlled, and then he will feel that he's always doing the right thing and gets the best result from the owner, right? And the third tips I want to put to you is also another form of restraint control. In this sense, we want to teach the dog what we call the placement exercise, right? Or we call it the mat exercise, where we train our dog by means of free shaping, allowing the dog to go to a mat, can be a dog bed, or can be any other material that you use. Basically, we teach the dog to shape it. First step is basically the first criteria is to teach the dog to inch near the towel or the mat, and he will get a MT, a mark and treat, and then we will let him do that again. Right, as the behavior gets a little bit more frequent, then we will raise our criteria, which into next, where I want the dog to, maybe have 2 feet, 2 paws that's entering into the mat or the towel, right? So now the criteria is get your 2 feet on top of the bed or the material of that mat. But when you do so, again, you will hear the MT, you will be rewarded, and if you are able to again provide me that physical criteria, 5 out of 5, then it's time for me to move up another notch in terms of the criteria. This time, I will want my dog to get in 4 paws on top of the mat, right? So on top of the bed, I want him to get in, and then he will hear the MT, and then we will have a mark and treat. The dog will be, again, gets the reward for doing so. Right, again, if the dog becomes very fluent, can basically provide me a 5 out of 5 try, it's time for me to basically increase the criteria to the next, right? So I will want the dog to then get into the mat and then give me a sit position, right? And then the next criteria I will do that will be to move it to a down position, right? And then the last thing I will do is to control the dog only by permission he will be given the green light to leave that mat or that bed. Right, that is what we call an absolute self-control. The dog has a task on hand, the dog has a job to be done, and the dog needs to exercise absolutely self-control and to be able to do that. Right, this is a very good exercise because especially when you have guests coming to your house, when they are leaving, you can send your dog to the mat, you can send the dog to the placement or reward, where he goes to the mat and then gets a down position, and then wait for your guests to leave. And then when the owner can come back and then say and release the dog, and then he will have a jackpot, right? So an MT or a CT, it will be something the dog will always be looking forward and to build that behavior stronger by the time, right? So that will be a very good exercise for us to practice in terms of addressing the nipping at the heel issue. Now the third common puppy issue that we will be saving. That we're facing, in this part 3 of 3 is the walking on loose leash. Walking on loose leash is one of the key importance exercise for us as dog owner, especially when we live in Singapore, where off-leash is actually against the law, and walking on the leash is the only option. But therefore, I want to teach you how to walk on leash, and when your dog is walking on loose leash, and then you're able to then gain, the freedom of walk, where then you will enjoy, both the dog and the human will enjoy the walk together at the park, right? So the first thing we can look at, or the first tip we can look at, would be to teach your puppy or your dog to look behind you, right? This is a very first skill set I will teach my puppy, when I get him out of my door, as I step out to my corridor and I move towards the lift, I'll be calling the dog's name, right? So I will say Max, right? And then he looks back at me and I will MT, right? So I will mark and treat for every time he turns and check back on me as the owner. So as I move towards the door to the lift, right? So I will see I'll try to gain as many MT as possible as I walk to the lift, because that will set a very good starting point for us to be successful during our walks, right? So again, the objective of this exercise is to teach the dog, right? Is to train the dog, right? To train a puppy to always check back on you, and when he check back on you, he will hear say MT and he will be rewarded, right? So that is the first exercise, teaching the dog to look back on you. Right, number two, right? The second tip is we will use basically the traffic light system concept to walk the dog. So when the leash is loose, it's a green light. Therefore, we can proceed with the walk. And if the leash is tight, it becomes red light. That's where I will stop. Right. So the one of the important part of leash walking is basically the pressure, the reflex system of the dog. Every time when you create a pull, the dog has to push away from you, right? So therefore, there's a reflex, there's an opposite reflex energy that's being created in order to balance the leash, right? That's something that is sometimes can be quite difficult for you to manage, right? As a dog, what we call a master of science, right? So they knows pressure, they knows reflex, they knows how to manage circumstances in terms of consequence, you know, in terms of what is the right thing to do. And that is always a thing that us as human are never as good as a dog. All right, so here on the second tips, we really will be very what we call very strict in that sense. So as I walking my dog, as I smiling to my dog as I walk, you know, talking to my dog, and when I feel that the leash is tightened, right, so that is a red light. So what I do, I will stop, right, and I allow the leash to be fully extended. And where my puppy move to the end of the lead, he will basically has a self correction that's being created by the leash, right, and the dog will then, in order to beat the reflex pull and pull reflex. Therefore, the dog has to rock back and to balance the leash so that he can stand upright. And by doing so, the leash will usually be loosened again, or he usually will even turn and come back to the owner. Right, that's where the leash is loose, and that's where I will say yes, or I will empty, and I will continue the walk every time the leash is loose. So what you want to tell to the dog is that every time when you push or when you pull the lead, as the leash becomes tightened, it's basically a green light. And what happens when you see a green light in the traffic light sign, you will stop your car, right? Exactly, this is what we will do, right? And we want the dog to basically learn the only way to get us moving is when the leash is loose, right? So the traffic light system is one of the simplest, but something that you need to put in a lot of effort to try to walk with your dog. Over time, the dog will understand what is the walking system all about. Right, so the third tips for teaching a walking on loose leash is what we call in reward-based training, we call it the 300-peg system. Right, the 300-peg system calls for every time, every single motion that you make forward, you will pay the dog, right? And you will pay in so much repetition, as much as 300 times. Therefore, your dog will stick to you, beside you on your left or on your right, and every time ready to get the food, and he has no chance to basically to pull your lead, right? Because he wants his reward, he wants to be close to you. And because of this 300-peg system, basically the dog will be there to collect his 300 treats, right? By doing so, your dog is being channeled, is being taught, is being conditioned to walk so close to you in order to get the rewards right from the owner's arm. Of hands, right? So therefore, it is a system that is very successful in a reward-based training technique, where we use to train our dog for walking, and the dog will learn that in order to, you know, to continue the walk is to walk close to the owner. And because the dog will always be rewarded, right? And it's based on this 300-peg system, where basically the dog will be rewarded as much as 300 times, right? Therefore, your dog will be so conditioned to just stand right smack beside you every time when you go for a walk, right? So you can give it a try, And this is something that I think is going to be very interesting. And I would think that it is something that you should give a go, because this is something that it will help in your walking system. Dog training is never a rocket science, right? So as you can, as you follow our podcast, listening to us, to myself, or even to my guest, that's on this on the podcast series, you will always learn that we are all learning how to work with our animals and finding ways to basically motivate our dog, to make our dog want to do with us or want to work with us, so that he will then gains his coveted reinforcement, which can be food, can be toy, or can be a pat on the head, can be a tummy rub, can be a hug from the owner, right? This is something that the dog will always want, right? So again, I would like to re-emphasize there's two golden rule that I want you to remember. So rule number one, if you want a behavior to be repeated, you got to make the situation fun, you got to make the situation exciting, you got to make the situation rewarding, right? So by rewarding, it means that your tone, you will have a very happy tone every time the dog does it for you. You know, you can talk like you are, you know, in love with the dog, right? And basically that will create and motivate and to enhance that belief in the dog, that he can keep doing this in order to get his reward, right? So he will keep the behavior, keep coming back. Right, so on the contrary, or on the other side of the zone, if he doesn't want a behavior that to keep coming back, right, so you need to make the situation boring, you need to make the situation non-rewarding, you got to make the situation maybe, you know, a bit punishing per se, right, or not fun. Therefore, your dog will not want to repeat that behavior, you know, because every time when he gets into that behavior, he will be reprimanded, you know, by a stimulus or by a consequence that is being provided in this equation. Therefore, he will learn not to repeat that behavior, and that behavior will soon will be extinguished, right? As what we call in this training system, it will be extinct, right? And therefore, the behavior will die a natural death, right? So this is something that I want you to bear in mind. Because these are very good thing stuff that it will help you to build on your training system, your training repertoire, which is very important. You know, the better you input your reinforcement into the training, the dog will become better and better over time. You know, so putting in reinforcement is like, I would say it's like, for example, you know, like the interest in the bank, right? So you have a principal sum of money that you put in the bank, right? And if you do nothing to it, basically, you will just multiply by a fixed interest rate, right? So imagine if you want to earn more, therefore you need to invest, right? So every time when you reward your dog, you are putting your investment at work, right? Therefore, you will earn a lot more interest. Right, so the better you reinforce, the more money you will earn, the better interest you will get. And every time when you successfully done a behavior and you reward the dog, it's as good as a withdrawal of your money in the bank. Right, so let's put in perspective. Imagine you doesn't put in effort to divert your money. It doesn't put in effort to make your money work harder for you. You're just depending on what we call the fixed interest rate. And you are, again, keep withdrawing the money because you have been asking your dog to do without paying the dog, right? So over time, right, your interest will be wiped out. It will eventually eat into your principal sum of money, and eventually you will have zero in your bank account, right? So the critical part here is to keep continue to work, make the money work for you, put in the reinforcement history, put in the lots of reinforcement by means of making the bank books harder for you, and where you will earn a lot more interest, right? As you earn the interest, as you gain more money, and sometimes you will withdraw, and because you are already keep making lots of money, therefore you will never get into a point where your interest will be wiped out. Needless to say, your principal sum of money will stay and grow, right? So this is what I regard as dog training. So I hope that that will give you a clear indication of what I mean by reinforcement, right? Reinforcement is basically something that you build that's rewarding for the dog to look out forward to as an indicator where he will knows for sure that every time he does that behavior, he's going to get something good, right? So this is what I want to leave with you for this podcast, right? I want to thank you for joining us for this podcast. And if you like our show, please click on the subscribe button so that you will be prompted with the latest episode that is available on our channel, Train Your Dog Podcast. Right? Or you can leave us a review at podchaser.com/pupsSG. Podchaser as in PUDCHASER.com. Right, and you can leave with us the review at your favorite podcast channel listener to be able to find our channel when they search for us over the search engine. Once again, you can find us at pups.com.sg, which is PUPS. Pups has a trainer academy to nurture, train, educate, and motivate all trainers to better equip ourselves with skill, knowledge, experience, and to ensure continuous education to keep abreast with the field of dog training. Pups Dog Training, we provide Puppy 101, Pet Dog, and Dog Sport Training. And our flagship program, our Dog Obedience Life Skill Program, and also the Puppy Fundamentals Obedience Classes, and Puppy Fundamental Agility Classes, and a behavioral consulting. Thanks again for listening to our podcast, and we hope you like it, and I'll see you again in our next podcast. Thanks. See you, yeah.